He's a lawyer, and critically, he was the visit's planning lead. VPL, yeah, very visible. By the way, folks, he's the guy they were to blame if it had all gone wrong, which, of course, it didn't. The third man, Tobin Andre, King's communication director, ex-deputy editor of the Daily Mail. We talk about him often here. Why? You will be familiar with some of their previous work, because these are the three that fashioned the now famous statement taking the former Prince Andrew's titles off him. Now, there were other people involved, even some women. Queen Camilla will have seen drafts. Christian Turner, our ambassador to the US. And last, but very much not least, the King himself. We will never know how many times he walked into the room where the three guys were and walked out again. I suspect, metaphorically and in real life, many, many times. And they were able to pull off something that's really difficult on the global stage. The speech appeared to have a singular voice, the King's voice.
I'd say that's the holy grail of writing by committee. You've got a small team with high trust and the right skill set. Between them, they've got all the right ingredients. Deep knowledge of the principle, tick. A comms lens, tick. Legal and a diplomatic lens, tick, tick. Now, Sir Clive Alderton, he doesn't just know King Charles well enough to channel his voice on the page, but as a former diplomat, he's also spent years navigating that delicate triangle of Foreign Office, Downing Street and the palace. So a state visit like this only works when all three move as one.
You're right. They didn't need to check on the history of the United States necessarily. These guys are senior Foreign Office people. They're amongst some of the best public servants we have. And I say that having met a lot of them, and I know some people might think I'd be very nice to them, but they just are. Very few people other than them would have been able to pull this off, because you can imagine the pressure from Downing Street and all kinds of other areas to sort of influence the speech would have been immense. And they would have influenced the speech. But as I say, the spark of the King was kept at the centre of this. He has a sparkle, the King, which you only see when you're close up to him. And of course, Alderton and those guys, they know that. They see it the whole time. And they managed to deliver the sparkle.
Yeah, that's a hard bit of PR, is trying to convince others what ingredients you need to do your job properly. And the result is always the same. Words just hang on them like a cheap suit, just generic, you know, hollow. And you always need someone in the room that knows the principle well enough to capture their voice, their turns of phrases, so it feels authentic. And I think a good speechwriter is one who can write a speech so that the principal's loved ones actually thinks it's their own words.
Well, there were no cheap suits in the room here, I can assure you of that. You're absolutely right. Sometimes in PR, folks, you write speeches for people you don't know very well. And you can tell, whereas this is the very opposite of that. And because they were able to do that, they were able to be brave and courageous as well. And we're going to hear a clip of that. The King wanted to talk about climate change, but he's talking to Congress, where there are many, many climate change deniers, including the president and the vice president, who was stood directly behind him. So the team had to work out how to do that. Now, he has written a book about nature, many books, but this year it got crowded out of the media because of the Andrew scandal. It was called Finding Harmony. And within that book are the words nature's own economy. Now, keep that in your mind, folks, nature's own economy, and just listen to what the King said when he stood up at Congress.
Our generation must decide how to address the collapse of critical natural systems, which threatens far more than the harmony and essential diversity of nature. We ignore at our peril the fact that these natural systems, in other words, nature's own economy, provide the foundation for our prosperity and our national security.
This speech travelled in red boxes between Downing Street and the Palace and many other departments all around Whitehall. It would have only have taken the flick of a pencil to take that line out from many, many people, and nobody did that. That in itself is an extraordinary achievement of communication by the Palace team.
David, did you notice that the fluffy save the world messaging gone and replaced with you know, words with quite a hard edge. So, you know, words like systems and economy. And you wouldn't naturally just put in sort of nature and economy and systems together. Mm. And I think that was very clever. Also super smart how they linked it with the national security priorities of prosperity and security. And that's one of the sort of PR rules, is you always speak in their language and also frame it around their priorities. And I think that was really smart. Now, the other area that I noticed is that they stripped away the emotion of environment and appealing more to the head, the rational, and the wallet, you know, not the heart. They absolutely got it right because they're acutely aware of the audience.
Now, there were two speeches, of course, one to the US Congress and one in the evening, which was the formal state dinner. And if you analyse what he said, there were four key messages in the main speech, and they were shared history and shared future, NATO, Ukraine and the environment. Bang, 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 bang. All the rest of it was built around that. And in the evening, they didn't talk about the environment, but it was the same themes again. Shared history and shared future, NATO and Ukraine, and everything else, as I say, was built around that. And for Zana, we had a gift, did we not? A moment of PR genius, a gift by the King to the President of the Ship's Bell from HMS Trump, a Royal Navy submarine which fought the Japanese in the Pacific.
So clever, because simply it had his name on it. I mean, Trump has spent a lifetime attaching his name to buildings, yep, towers, art centres, mm, now even passports. He's a man who likes his name branded on objects, mm, and, you know, shiny gold, very much his aesthetic. Yeah. But it's not just a gift of a shiny gold item with his name on it. It flatters because it tells a story of bravery with his name. And, yeah, hope, you know, we all hope that it's going to seed some affection for some things British, or at least the Royal Navy. And remember, David, Trump was critical of the UK's naval capabilities.
Yes, he was.
And so here we have our King bearing gifts. On the surface, charming speeches, but buried within, foreign policy, corrections, criticisms, failed rebukes. And it's just come gift-wrapped. But David, whether Trump unwrapped that part is less clear.
You know, the words that the King used as he delivered the bell, you know, may it stand as a testimony of our nation's shared history and shining future. And then he says with his sparkle, and should you ever need to get hold of us, well, just give us a ring.
Love it.
Classic,
love
classic
it.
Moment. Really important, and landed brilliantly.
I don't know about you, but most of the people that I was talking to about this, they had only captured a few clips. They didn't actually consume it in that linear format, that full sort of, you know, 30 minutes talk. Now, PRs, they operate in what we call the clip economy. So that's really fragments taken out and then they fly, you know, they land on your For You page on TikTok. And you can end up with a completely different perception of how the speech landed than someone who actually sat through the whole thing. So the constant applause interrupting the flow. But what was interesting is the King always went back to the beginning of the sentence and started again, creating a clean edit for clips. Mm. Now, the success of the entire Royal State visit can be reduced to a 60-second clip that the algorithm gods deem worthy of pushing into your social media feed. And in PR land, we already have media relations, but now we're also handling algorithmic relations. And that's how reputations are increasingly being forged, not through linear content, but through fragments. And who decides which fragments you see on socials? Not an editor, not a broadcaster, but the algorithm. They are the new kingmaker of perception.
I totally agree, Fazana, and you make a very good point. This speech worked on all levels, including for the fragment economy. In fact, I came to it because I was out, and I looked at my phone and I saw the gift of the bell, and it was that fragment, that little bit of the speech, that I saw first. So I went through exactly the experience that you described. But we should also say there were immense PR risks around the state visit, principally Trump himself, and you alluded to some of them earlier. And there were what you might call ghosts at the banquet, the people not present. In so many ways, the ghosts of Jeffrey Epstein, whose legacy has tainted both Trump and the royal family, was the latter-day banquet. I noticed the King quoted Henry V at the dinner, but he could so easily have quoted Macbeth, because another ghost at the dinner, a spectre over the proceedings, if you like, was the former Prince Andrew. And the palace speechwriters had to manage that toxic issue, knowing there were Epstein victims outside Congress protesting during the day. Now, the king did address it, but did he do enough? I mean, he said, and I'm quoting, that both countries would support victims of some of the ills that so tragically exist in both our societies today. Was it enough? It was a bit weak. It wasn't really enough for Sky Roberts, who's Virginia Giuffre's brother, who was outside. But he just about got away with it.
So how are we going to judge the success, David? Will we judge it in immediate terms, the positive movement on whiskey tariffs? Will we judge it on, you know, social media sentiment, key message inclusion, reach? Or is this something that we have to observe a bit longer term? What's your take?
I think it worked on every level. And there was another key point for me in the speech when he says, this is the king, it is not hard to see how important the relationship remains in matters both seen and unseen. What's the unseen?